Patriots head coach Bill Belichick joins us. Hello, Coach. How are you?
Great, Dale. How are you doing, Michael? And it's an honor to be on with you, Jerry.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. I know it is. I know. No autographs until after the show. But no, by way of full disclosure, I enjoy your coaching. Well, I'll just say that. The understatement of the century. I really like your team, and thanks for coming in.
I appreciate it.
Let's talk running game for just a minute. Let's talk Jonas Gray, a guy who you guys cut at the end of August, re-signed to the practice squad. Any team in the National Football League could have signed him off your practice squad. What did you see that made you want to keep him a part of your organization?
Well, I thought he was productive in preseason. You know, he ran hard, he broke tackles, and I thought he, you know, had good preseason games for us. It was durable, tough, you know, hard guy to tackle. So, you know, it's like it always is when you cut down at the end. The guys that you can't keep on your roster, you hope you can get to the practice squad, and a lot of those guys end up playing for our team and other teams. I'm sure if you look around the league, there's probably, you know, four or five, six of those guys on everybody's team one way or another.
I'm not asking you to give away any state secrets in terms of what you're looking
for.
Well,
don't worry, Michael. I was planning on it. So.
Well, there goes my question.
All right, there it is. But, you know, I'm just looking at a guy like Jonas Gray, who this is his third organization now. You guys are his third organization. And he wasn't drafted. And I know he had an injury, what, November of his last year at Notre Dame. But undrafted guy goes and gets 199 yards in the game. And I look at some of the other success you've had with running backs who weren't highly regarded in terms of draft position. You know, Danny Woodhead was another one. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis was another one. Are you looking for something in particular that maybe doesn't necessarily, it's not obvious, but you say, all right, I'm going to keep an eye on that guy because he does this, this, and this, and that's going to translate for us?
Well, I think you see a lot of that throughout the league. There's quite a few players in the league that are undrafted running backs or late draft choices that have been productive players. So that's one of the positions that over the years there's some consistency of being able to find guys at that position to come in and be productive. You put Brandon Bolden in that category too. So you know, I think Jonas was a good player in college. I don't think there was really any doubt about that. The injury was a very significant injury. He really didn't do much for Miami that first year. That was 2012. And then last year in 2013, he was with the Ravens. And it was interesting because we actually had the other Notre Dame running back, Sierra Wood, who was with Houston last year. And then he was released, and then we put him on our practice squad. But in the end, we really felt that you know, we'd rather have Jonas over Sierra, and we ended up having the opportunity to do that at the end of the year when Jonas wasn't re-signed by Baltimore. We signed him as a future player and got him in this year. So, but you know, he's been a productive player. He's been a good player in the opportunities that he's had, minus the time, of course, that he missed with the injury. But certainly looks like that's in the past now.
Bill, my question is it really an honor to meet me? No, wait, that's not my question. My question is, did you expect to run as much as you did, or how much of that was it just was effective? You lined up with two and three tight ends, and they weren't stopping it, so you just decided to stick with what worked.
Yeah, well, that's always a part of it. You know, we had some success early in the game, particularly on the first drive, and that gives you a lot of encouragement to keep doing it. You know, it's hard when you call plays and, you know, you gain a yard and you call five or six of them and you got seven or eight yards. I mean, it's hard to keep calling those. If the score's in your favor and the circumstances are, the stars are in alignment, you can keep doing it. But when it's not going well, it's just hard to stay with that. So certainly success had a lot to do with it. Naturally, we had those plays in the game plan because we thought that they would have an opportunity to be successful. So that was not unexpected that we, you know, it was like we put them at halftime. We thought that they would have a chance, but it turned out that they were effective and our players blocked well. You know, I thought we had great blocking, not only from the offensive line, particularly the tackles, but also the tight end position. You know, that Rob did a good job, and Cam Fleming out there at tight end, Hooman and James Devlin at fullback, and our receivers blocked well. So just the combination of everything, it all came together. Jonas ran hard. He broke a lot of tackles or got yards after first contact. He had, you know, I'd say close to probably 100 yards after the first guy made contact with him. So you know, all those things played into it. But certainly the success makes it a lot easier to keep calling those plays, no question.
We talked to Teddy Bruschi an hour or so ago, and he told us Rob Gronkowski is the greatest tight end he's ever seen play the game. Now, you were on a Giants team that had a guy named Bavaro who was pretty darn good at what he did. But he seems different. Rob seems different than, as Teddy called them, glorified, pumped-up wide receivers, which is what they're calling some of those position players nowadays in this game.
Yeah, well, no, I think Rob, there's no question, Rob can you know, do all the things that you want a tight end to do. He can block, he can pass protect, he can catch, he can make plays down the field in the red area, and he can make short plays and catch and run with the ball. So he has a good skill set. You know, coming out of Arizona, he really didn't catch many passes, the injuries and all that notwithstanding. But even when he did play, it wasn't like he, you know, was targeted 8-10 times a game. That wasn't the case. And even when we first got him here, I want to say the first game we played him in, the first preseason game we played him in, I don't even know if he went out for a pass. I think he's certainly gotten a lot better at it, but he definitely has a great skill set, a big catch radius. He's got good hands. He's got strong hands. And I think he's refined his route running techniques considerably, his ability to get open instead of just, you know, run into a spot. He's been able to influence defenders, get their hips turned, you know, stair step them, change directions, change his pace to be able to create that separation. So, you know, he's done a good job of getting better at that, too. I wouldn't say, you know, he came into this league as, you know, a refined receiver by any stretch of the imagination.
I did mention to these guys that I know penalties have been an issue for you all season long. You've said that we've got to cut down on penalties. Was the Gronkowski penalty one you can live with?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough call there. I mean, you're blocking a guy. Now, you know, you got to understand when you cross the line, but, yeah, it was a tough one, though. Was certainly a lot easier to take than the ones on the punt returns. You know, it's another game of penalties on the return game. We got to eliminate those.
I just want to follow up on something you said about Gronk in college, how he wasn't necessarily targeted all that much. I wonder why, and B, when you guys were scouting him.
Well, I'd say because he was a good blocking tight end, and yeah. They're hard to find too. There was one game in particular, I can't remember who it was against. There was one game in particular where they flexed him out and threw to him a couple times, but it was just that one game, and that was his sophomore year. And, of course, he missed his junior year, and he came out early, so there wasn't a lot on him. What there was on him was the head coach, Mike Stoops, in the conversation that I had with Mike, talked extensively about how good Rob was at that. But, you know, he was saying we didn't really use him very much doing that. But from practice, you know, Mike had seen a lot of Rob catching the ball, his, you know, ability to adjust to the ball, his hands, his concentration, obviously a big target. And, you know, he said that was a very underutilized part of Rob's game down there at Arizona, which I would say is, you know, similar but different, but similar to the, you know, Ray Rice situation, you know, with Ray at Rutgers. He was rarely thrown to, and he didn't return kicks. But he was very capable of doing all those. He just wasn't asked to do that a lot. And then, when he got to Baltimore, he became one of the most versatile third-down backs in the game. And earlier in his career was used as a kick returner because he did have good hands and good ball judgment. So, again, sometimes those things just don't come to the surface in another system or another situation for one reason or another.
And I'm not saying you saw a record-setting tight end coming in Gronk when you drafted him, but knowing that he was like that in college, in a very limited sample size that he could catch, did you think you were getting a guy who could maybe upgrade more in the passing game, or did you think, okay, it's a pretty good prospect, at the very least I know I have a great blocking tight end potentially in the second round?
No, I think we thought more than that. I mean, look, we took the guy in the second round and he didn't even play his junior year, so he basically had, you know, a year and a half of college football. I mean, he played a little bit as a freshman, then a little bit. He played as a sophomore. Then he missed his junior year. Then he came out. So there wasn't a whole lot to go on. But, you know, we did have a conviction on Rob based on what we did know. And we felt that the injury would be, you know, manageable. The back injury I'm talking about, that would be manageable and it wouldn't be a, you know, a significant injury. And that, it, you know, he had surgery on it. We felt like he was going to be okay. and we felt like he was, you know, a good player. And in as a complete player, I mean, I don't think you take a blocking tight end in the second round if you think that's all you have.
Speaking of Gronk, on the sidelines after he caught the touchdown, he was yelling something, and you were laughing. Can you? Will the FCC let us?
No. Okay. I don't know. Rob's all, you know. Rob's always pumped up. He's got a great. I mean, I love Rob. You know, Rob's got a great energy for the game. He loves football. He's very passionate. He gets very excited in a good way. You know, when things are going good, and he loves to play, he loves to compete. He loves to score. He loves to hit people. He loves to win. So,
what's not to like?
I know.
who knows what he was saying? Or, but
I would pay good money for that mic'd up. I will tell you that.
he has a good, a very good positive personality toward the game, towards his teammates, and he's a hardworking guy. I think that's why he's so popular with everybody, because he works hard, but he's committed to the team, and he'll do whatever you ask him to do, and he wants to do it for the team.
Your quarterback threw such an uncharacteristic interception at the end of the first half. You got the ball back with 54 seconds and timeouts in your pocket. Was it because of the way your offense was performing at the time that you decided, let's just take the knee and get out of here and talk about this?
Right, yeah. On that last possession, we had less than a minute to go. We were going to get the ball to start the third quarter. We just had not a great series. I thought at that point it was better just to settle down and regroup and come back out in the second half and start the series, because we were going to get the ball to start the second half. So just start it clean and fresh instead of at that the 54 second mark or whatever it was.
I'm not saying that there's a lot of money involved in this, but you could settle a bet. We usually do this at the end, drive of the week. So we'll do it now. Some guys have their bets on what you're going to say, what the drive of the week is. Time now for the Coach's Drive of the Week, brought to you by the all-new 2015 Mercedes-Benz C-Class, raising the bar yet again as the benchmark in luxury sports sedans. Visit MBUSA.com or your nearest dealer today. What do you think the drive of the week was, Coach, yesterday's game?
Yeah, well, I mean, it'd be a close one there, but it'd be one of the first drive of the game or the first drive of the second half.
Wow,
go with the first drive. Go with the first drive.
Those were the two we had.
Go with that one. And why did you?
Well, I mean, I think both ways. You know, starting the game to be able to go on the road against a team who had been obviously played very well at home, was a great third down defense at home, had a lot of energy in the stadium. I thought that drive. You know, we had the three. We gave them possession first, so we had the stop there. We were able to get the ball back, drive the length of the field. I thought that was a good, a real good drive for our team. Kind of took the crowd a little bit out of the game and put us ahead, which is where you want to play the Colts from. But then the way the half ended, we took a 14-3 lead, and then it was 14-10, and what happened in the the Jets game down there last year. In the Denver game here with the interception starting the third quarter, that can turn around in a hurry. But in this case, the second half drive took it from 14-10 to 21-10, and that was a big one too. So, but I thought those two were just good examples of our team coming out playing aggressively, not putting our toe in the water, as we say, but just diving right in head first, being aggressive, trying to make plays, and we made them.
Can I close it out with a rules question that you can help me with? Because
I don't know if I can help you.
I thought it was a safety on the kickoff. There was no momentum for the ball. It was stopped at the 1 yard line, and they kicked it into the end zone.
Right. Yeah. The rule is if the ball is muffed in the attempt to recover the ball, handle the muff, and the ball goes into the end zone, even though the true impetus isn't. By the kick wouldn't have taken it to the end zone. If it's part of the process of handling a muff ball and the muff ball goes back into the end zone, then that still is a touchback. The question on the rule is if the ball is stopped and then the momentum gets restarted or the impetus gets restarted and back to the end zone, it's kind of a little bit of a, I'd say a fuzzy kind of a, phrase in there in the rule. But the ball never did actually stop. It slowed down. I don't think it ever came to a complete stop. So when they tried to pick it up and then it squirted back into the end zone, I think it was based on the rule, the correct call. I thought the ball stopped, but it didn't.
Had you ever heard that rule before? Has it ever come up in 30-some-odd years of
coaching
football?
It has. Well, it has. And actually, when I was with the Giants, we opened in Dallas, and a play very similar to that occurred, and the ruling was a safety, which was the incorrect ruling, but it was, so it's it's a pretty obscure rule, no question about it. It's a pretty obscure rule, but I think that was handled. Based on the way the rules are written now, I think that it was handled correctly.
Coach, we appreciate the time as always. We'll see you next week.
All right, sounds good. All right, thanks, Dale, Michael. Jerry, always a pleasure now. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's make it a regular thing.
All right, that sounds good. I'll be here.